You're listening to Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and the wisdom of others. I started this podcast as a way of showing my gratitude for these teachings and to expand my own understanding. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, I'm going to talk about what I mean when I talk about being skillful. I know it's something I say often, something which has become such a part of my lexicon that it occurred to me I'm probably a bit presumptive in how I use it. I assume that people know what I'm talking about, and yet, when I first started working on this whole self-awareness, change your mind, change your attitude approach to life, I certainly didn't understand what it meant to genuinely employ skillful means. Now, we probably all have an understanding of skill, I'm sure. To be skillful is to have or possess skill, to be able to execute something. But I'm not talking about being skillful in an artistic way specifically, although what I'm talking about does involve a lot of creativity. And I'm also not talking about skill in the context of being trained, like in a trade, for example, or having a strong base of factual knowledge. Skillful means, in the context of practice, and what I'm going to talk about today, is our ability to approach a situation, any situation, with an open heart and mind, and keep an open heart and mind, and contribute in such a way that everyone involved benefits. I am terrible at this. Most of us are. It's largely because we approach situations from our own limited points of view. We come in with a lot of ego. We want to be right. And in order for that to happen, someone else often has to be wrong. Or we don't want to be seen as wrong because we equate being wrong about something as being bad. So we're unwilling to listen to anyone who might point out how something we believe is harmful or misinformed or ignorant because we think them saying what you think about this is wrong is them saying you are a bad person, even though that's not what they're saying. And again, that kind of comes down to skillful means. How skillful are we at listening and hearing as well as talking to people? And while I might not always be able to act skillfully or speak skillfully, the point is that my intention is to add to the compassion in the world rather than add to any animosity, aggression, or hatred. And so I try to do that in all of my actions and with my words. And with that intention in place, I know that I can only get better. I know I am getting better, but I'm still really a beginner. But there is one person whose skill is, as far as I'm concerned, nearly unsurpassed. There is a teacher from whom most of my understanding of what it is to be skillful comes from. And not because of anything she teaches on the subject, but rather in how she actually embodies it. So this episode is a tribute to her. A slightly belated birthday gift to thank her for her teachings and for her example. You've probably guessed who I'm talking about, given that I mention her in nearly every single episode that I do. My root teacher and guru, Annie Pema Chodron. I've been listening to Pema's teachings for like half a dozen years now, at least. I've got loads of her talks on my iPod and I cycle through them really, really regularly. I've lost count, actually, of how often I've listened to most of them, and this frequency of listening means that I've also memorized a lot of them, almost verbatim, including the questions that people ask her. Now, getting up in front of an audience to ask a question of someone as well-known and admired as Pema Chodron is not easy. Believe me, I know. We're talking about getting up in front of an audience of strangers to put a question to one of the world's most well-known Western Buddhists. And sometimes it's a question that we phrase awkwardly, or that might not actually paint us in the best light. And a lot of the time, I'm going to say that people are totally aware of this when they're asking that. And here is where Pema's skill is so great. She responds to every single question with kindness, compassion, and open-heartedness. She never says anything disparaging or judgmental. Her responses are demonstrations of what it is to use skillful means. Like, the other day, I was listening to a recording that's actually really new to me. It's one that I'm still on my first go-round on. So someone asks her a question about Tonglen possibly being something that's a dangerous practice. Tonglen, for those of you who don't know, is a practice of giving and receiving. Giving calm, ease, and peacefulness out on the out-breath, and receiving or breathing in, taking in, anxiety, pain, and suffering. The questioner put it to Pema as dangerous in the case of people with cancer, who need to think positively in order to cure themselves. I know I have a lot of charge around this topic. I have a lot of charge in general when I encounter anyone who talks about spiritual practice as pseudoscience with any kind of legitimacy. I'm sure that many of you are in the same boat. I know that that charge, however, makes it difficult for me to remain open-hearted and compassionate. So because I want to be more skillful, I paid very close attention to Pema's response. So first, she clarifies what the point of doing Tonglen is as a practice, which is to learn how to relate to the difficult things in our lives as perfectly ordinary. It's to look at things which we are terrified to look at so we can get to know them and start to see how the painful aspects of life are not punishments. And the joyful aspects are not rewards. They just are. They're just part of the natural flow of life and living. The reason that Tonglen is such a profound kind of practice to do is because most of us spend our lives trying to avoid the uncomfortable things, and then we still don't feel comfortable. And Tonglen is inviting us to turn that on its head, to pay close attention to the uncomfortable things, to get to know them, to breathe them in so no one else need feel them. And then we'll begin to see that our suffering isn't personal. It doesn't make us special, and it isn't a punishment. It's just part of being human. And then she goes on to talk about the difference between healing and curing, saying that healing comes from addressing our state of mind concerning the things that we see as bad. She further enforces this by pointing out how many examples there are of very realized teachers who've died of cancer, and they may be criticized for not being spiritual enough, as if like they wouldn't have died if actually maybe they were so realized and if they'd been meditating more. But she's saying like that wasn't the point of their practice, and that's not what they were trying to teach. She says it's about how they were able to relate to their illness, not as some horrible enemy to be rejected or a reflection of their morality, but as a process, an experience that's completely free of their assumptions and labels, part of being human. Not once does she insult the questioner. She doesn't tell them that they're wrong or that their reasoning is flawed. She doesn't tell them anything, really, at all. She just responds with her understanding, with her experience of the Dharma and the practice, and leaves it to them to process or take on board, or not. This is a key part of skillful means, letting go of the need to tell someone what they should or shouldn't think. It's difficult, especially if it's on a subject that we just know that a lot of people would totally agree with us on and really, really back us up on. We can get really righteously indignant about being right. But what Pema does, and how she does it, allows the person to make up their own mind. It plants a seed, perhaps, but she doesn't call them wrong. She doesn't say that they're bad or that they're stupid. She just says, oh, okay, well, that's where you're at. Here's some more information. You can do what you want with it. And that's good, because I know that if someone makes me feel like I'm wrong or I'm bad or I'm stupid, they're all things that would definitely put me on the back foot, and they would cause me to dig my heels in, or just to outright ignore what someone else has to say. Basically, I know how awful it feels to be told that I'm wrong. And I know how ineffective that is with helping me change my mind or to be open to learning something different. And by knowing that about myself, it's pretty good odds that I know that about every single other human being. Therefore, I just think, how would I want someone to talk to me about this? And that's what Pema's doing. Another example of Pema's skill is when a questioner is telling her about relating to their brother. It tells this whole story, how they find their brother really difficult, different times, and they try to stay open to them, but then they don't really think that their brother is capable of being so open back. And then they talk about how when they try to discuss this with him, like work through something, their brother just gets really annoyed and tells them to stop using all that Buddhist mumbo jumbo. I love Pema's response to this because the first thing that she does is just sort of laugh and say, oh yeah, Buddhist mumbo jumbo will get you nowhere fast. Telling people to do as I do is really annoying. And then she shares a story. She talks about having a meal with her granddaughter. Her granddaughter was upset about something and brought it to her, and Pema was saying some stuff to her, and her granddaughter just cuts her off and says, I need a grandmother, not a Pema children. Pema describes the experience as painful. It was like a slap in the face, but she recognized it as something that she needed to hear. It was a reality check. Her granddaughter, her beloved granddaughter, as anyone who listens to her will know, she loves this person and wants to be there for her genuinely. And she called her on her shtick. She kept Pema humble. And Pema shared this. I love this. I love how Pema doesn't remark on the questioner's actions, but shares a story of something similar that she's experienced. She's a world-renowned teacher, and she's saying, like, oh, yeah, right? When we do that, it's so silly, isn't it? It sucks. How great for your brother to point that out for you, just like my granddaughter pointed it out for me. People like that keep our spiritual materialism in check. They keep us from thinking that we're better than anyone else. They keep us humble. It's beautiful, and it's something that I try to remember when I'm feeling sort of frustrated with somebody else, to keep me from getting arrogant and instead soften me to my own fallible humanness. And also, you know, it's really good at pointing at where I still have work to do. Which brings me to my last example, which is mine. I got to ask Pema a question at the Walk the Walk retreat in 2013 at the Omega Center. At the time, I was struggling with a lot. I was dealing with the pain of heartbreak, rejection, and hope. Standing up was nerve-wracking, but I had a question, and I didn't want to pass up this incredible opportunity to put it to my root teacher, the person from whom I've learned the most about myself and about how to practice. I was one of 500 attendees. I'm standing in the middle of this room, surrounded by all these people, and I wanted so badly to speak clearly and phrase my question well and show my gratitude to her and all this stuff, right? I remember how much I was shaking. I was so nervous. And when I listened to the recording afterwards, I winced at how often I said, I found it really embarrassing. The skillful means thing. The thing that Pema did, besides responding compassionately, as she always does, was that she was very present for me. I remember how she looked me in the eye, the way that she leaned forward, the space she gave to me to present what I was struggling with to her, the thought and consideration in her response, the gentleness in it, the kindness, the total intimacy despite the size of the room and the number of people present. I felt like she really saw me. And also not just me. She really saw everyone struggling with something similar. And that came through in her response. While she was specifically replying to me based on what I'd asked, what she said was really general. She gave a response that anyone could use. Anyone who was struggling with their current situation, resisting what was going on, could use what she said. She gave me a response, but she also offered it to the room, for everyone else to reflect on. It was like a reminder to me that my suffering didn't make me special, and in fact it was a way for me to connect. All of these skillful means are born of a longing to have great compassion. As Pema says, compassion is not about wanting to help people we think of as less fortunate than us, but from realizing our kinship with others. Compassion is an act of relating with people. When she responds, she's aware of the things that would make her shut down, and how she can speak in a way that might invite them to relate to their own wisdom. She truly is the embodiment of skillful means. And if you'd like a guide for that, to understand what it looks like, I recommend downloading any of her talks, and always listening to the questions and the responses. I guarantee, if you set the intention to be so skillful, you will find life immensely workable. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, or post it to social media. You can also consider becoming a patron, which has really cool perks like getting art prints or a signed book in the post. Just click the green Become a Patron button on the Everything is Workable Podbean page. Thank you as well to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world so that I could use it for this podcast. You can find more of his stuff on www.dexterbritton.co.uk. And you can find more of my stuff at faunawolfcreations.com.